Today's Shiur Mishnah Bar Yoimi is Siman Shein Yud Ches. We are up to Sif Hey. We already pointed out in the previous Sif that reheating any dry foods, there's no malacha of bishul that occurs. This is because there's a principle called ein bishul achar bishul. Once the item is cooked, any second cooking does not cause any significant change. However, halacha views cooking a food in a liquid as a distinctly different process from baking and roasting. Therefore, according to many poskim, performing one and then the other would be a significant enhancement of the food and therefore would be subject to the malacha of mevashel. The Shulchan Aruch will also paskin that a person cannot place a baked food even in a kli sheni. This is because we are unsure whether such foods is what's called, we discussed it once already or a couple of times, called kalei habishul, items that are easily cooked, which are subject to bishul even in a kli sheni, and assuming there is bishul acharafia, and this is kalei habishul, it could be a do'oraisa, it would be a do'oraisa if it's kalei habishul when it is placed in a yadso that is both kli sheni. Now, for clarity's sake, whenever we use the term cooking, in contrast to baking or roasting, the intent of cooking is cooking in liquid. Baking obviously is not in liquid, and roasting is when it's in an oven and it's not being cooked in liquid. Okay, but obviously, you might sometimes say cooking in an oven. It's cooking in an oven. But for our purposes, we're going to have cooking, baking, and roasting are going to be terms. All of them, in and of itself, are under the general category of mevashel, bishel. In fact, the Mishnah calls it ofeh, ha-ofeh. But we've been calling it bishel. That's what the Shulchan Aruch has been calling it, bishel. Bishel includes regular bishel, which is cooking. It includes roasting, and it includes baking. But as we said just now, they are all different, distinct processes of bishel. And therefore, we now begin Sif Hey. Yesh Misha Omer. The Dover Shenefa O Nitzla, something that was baked or roasted, in Bishlo, a Karkach, the Mashke, if it gets cooked afterwards in Mashke, meaning in a cooking process, in liquid on the stove, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishl. And then he goes on, the Asa Litain Pas, Afilu, the Roma Eds, the Kli Sheni, Shayad Soletisbo. And it's Asa to put bread even in a Kli Sheni, Shayad Soletisbo. And he says, the Yesh Matirin, but there are those that allow one to go ahead and place it in. The Rama says, Hagah, the Kli Sheni. There are those that are matir, this is the sheet of the Mordechai, that you can put it in a Kli Sheni. You can put this bread that was baked in a Kli Sheni. Yesh Makilin, Afilu, the Kli Rishon. And there are those that are Makil, you can put it even in a Kli Rishon, meaning there are those that are of the opinion that there is no concern at all of Bishol Achar Afia, meaning that Afia, Tzli, Bishol, these are all the same halachic activity, and therefore cooking after baking will be allowed, and therefore you can put the bread even in a kli rishon. And he says, "V'nagu lizayah lechatchila." The minhag is to be careful lechatchila. Shelo litain pas afilu bekli sheni. You should not put bread even in a kli sheni, like the Shulchan Aruch states. Kolzman shayatz aletzbo, as long as there's yatz aletzbo. So he says the minhag is like this shita in the Shulchan Aruch, the first day on the Shulchan Aruch, that yesh bishul acharafia even in a kli sheni. Now we can look at all the Mishnah Berurahs on this. Sif katan mem. In bishul achakach b'mashke, if the bread was cooked afterwards, the bread that was baked was cooked afterwards in liquid, meaning it became cooked. Meaning you put the bread that was baked in a pot, like of chont, that is already cooking. Because if you put it in cold liquid and then you put it on the stove, then you'd be over bishul, you transgress bishul because you're heating up the liquid. So obviously we're talking about where you put the bread in piping hot chont, and we say yesh bishul achar afia. Even though we say that there's no bishul after bishul, right? There's no cooking after cooking when you're dealing with solids, right? There is bishul of a roasted item. Let's say you have roasted chicken, and then you take the roasted chicken that wasn't cooked, and you put the roasted chicken in a chon pot. This is true even if it is the roasted chicken is still hot, based on the fact that it was roasting, because the process of bishul is a different process, and therefore you are over the malacha of bishul, even though it was already fully roasted. He says, and according to this, there is also since they're different processes, if you have something that was cooked, let's say a piece of meat that was cooked in chont, then you go ahead and roast it. Yesh sli achar bishul lachain. Therefore, usli tain dovash nizbashal etzayesh beli rotev. Based on this, it's going to be usser to place a cooked item near a fire without any broth or liquid, lav davka et al ha'esh, and not only next to the fire. The truth is that anywhere where it could roast from the heat of the oven would be a problem. And therefore, a person has to be very careful not to return cooked meat to the oven without any broth in a pot, in a spot, which is Yad Solet Esbo, Afilu Yadenu Al Gabe Kedera Masekes. And this is even if he places it on an intervening pot. This is because intervening pots only help for the Rabbanans, but this we're talking about here is real Bishul, Tzliach Har Bishul. Now there's a little difficulty with this Mishnah Brura because it seems to be in conflict with the Shulchan Aruch coming up in Sif Tezvav, that a person is allowed to go ahead and reheat a dry cooked item by placing it near a fire. You should check out the Berlacha there. So the Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin Yud Dalid, he comes up and he suggests that for the purposes of these halachos, roasting includes only roasting on coals or directly over a fire, which grants the food a distinct grilled flavor and texture. However, placing food near a fire to heat it does not have that effect, and it is not included in the definition of roasting. So we seem to have here a machlokes, and the Chazon Ish here is Mekel, and he holds that when it comes to Sli Achar Bishul, true, we hold that there's Sli Achar Bishul, but Sli needs to have a sort of roasting texture that exists. And therefore, if you just go ahead and even heat up cooked food without liquid or broth, but it just heats it up like we heat it up on a blech, where it doesn't get crispy or roasted, So then it would not be any Tzli Achar Bishul. But if it, you know, you put it, let's say, directly on a plata and it gets more crispy, so then for sure there would be Tzli Achar Bishul, even according to the Chazon Ish. And he goes on, the Mishnah Brura, and he says as follows, Aval kulei alma ain Tzli Achar Tzli. But everyone holds there's no Tzli Achar Tzli. Once something is roasted, there's no more roasting. And therefore, something that was roasted, you could put next to a fire, even if it cools off. He says, and this is provided that one does not place it close enough so that there's a concern that he will stoke the coals. This is a halacha that we always talk about in terms of chazara, that's always a concern, a gzera, of Shema Yichate Bigachala, maybe you'll come to stir the coals. Vagamlo Yamidenu al Karkaya Satana, Ella al Yidei Hefse Klei Rekanis Tachtea, Kedei Shalo Yanire Kimivashal. And he says, furthermore, you should not go ahead and place it directly on the floor of the oven. Those days the oven had a floor without any empty kli intervening, so that it should not have the appearance, should not look like Bishal Nira Kimivashal. He says, Vayin La El Simon Rashman Gimel Sifhei, Uadim Afiya Ki Hai Gavna, same thing would be by Afiya. Similarly, ain afia achar afia. Same way there's no tzli achar tzli, there's no afia achar afia, and obviously that's the same thing as ain bishul achar bishul. Now the Mishnah Brura here is referencing the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Nun Gimel Sifhei that paskin that although it's usher to place even previously cooked food on a fire in the first place on Shabbos due to chazara, it's permitted to place a pot onto another pot that is on the fire. Now this is because it's unusual to cook in such a fashion. It's not Sukkas Ashinui, it's not, and therefore it's not Nire or Mesei Kimavashal. Now, this is a big, big deal in the halachos, because the Beralacha back in Reishman Gimel, Sif Gimel, Paskin, that this is only if it is placed on a pot that actually contains food, since this is indeed an unusual manner of cooking. But one should not reheat food on a fire by merely placing an empty kli between the pot and the fire. So this seems to be a stira with the Mishnah Brura's statement here, that one can use an empty intervening kli. So there are different solutions given to this, and there were earlier Shmir Shabbos Gehilchos versions. There's the current Shmir Shabbos Gehilchos version. Check out Shmir Shabbos Gehilchos Bishul, which is the first chapter there, footnote Kuf Chav Vav, footnote 126 for the raid there. And most do not rely on an empty kli to go ahead and put a pot on top of an empty kli, or what's known as an upside-down kli, and then putting your pot on top of it, even if it's on a blech. Where people are makel is on a plata. There's a difference between a blech and a plata. Plata is a hot plate. So many are makel to go ahead and, for example, take already cooked schnitz from the fridge and put it on top of a upside-down kli on a plata on a hot plate. You know the Rosh Hashiva asks this way, but will not go ahead and put it on top of a blech. The main, which is a piece of metal on top of the fire, covering the fire and the knobs. That's because a hot plate, there are actually poskim that hold that you could put schnitzel directly on a hot plate because there's no concern for Shema Yechate B'Gecholim stirring the coals, and there's also no concern that it looks like bishul because it's a hot plate that's not adjustable. So even though many do not rely on putting it straight on a hot plate, a schnitzel, they will go ahead and put it on an upside down empty kli on top of the plata, on top of the hot plate. But for the most part, most people are not knowing to do this on a empty pot on top of a blech, meaning on top of the metal sheet that goes on top of the flame and covers the knobs. That only one who puts it on top of a pot that is cooking food, should you put the schnitzel on that, or you put it on top of your crock pot that has food and contents in it. You want to warm up your schnitzel and your kugel. We move on now. Sif katan mem beis. The also retain pas. He says here that it's also to put bread even into a kli sheni. Hosif bezed din acher. He's adding here a different din. That time, the reason. The sfir leila day azu. This opinion holds. The yesh dvarim shem is vashlim afilu bekli sheni. This opinion holds that there are things that cook even in a kli sheni. Why? Mipnei shehem rakim, because they are soft and easily cooked. Ve'ein anu bekiyim, and we are not experts. The alkein hosif lesor litain pas ha'afui. Therefore, he comes and he asks us here: cook a baked bread who rakich afilu bekli sheni, which is soft and should not be placed even in a kli sheni, easily cooked. Ruah adin l'vayazu yesh lahachmir nami b'shar dvarim shelo litnam bekli sheni. He says, according to this opinion, and this is what we mentioned numerous times, you should be machmir not to put other things in a kli sheni, because we are not experts in kalei abishul. So anything that can be cooked easily, and we don't know what can't be cooked easily, we have to be concerned. V'ein l'kaman b'siftes odos tavlin. And we'll see this as an issue coming up later on in siftes, where back then they had different type of spices. And the Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about how today our spices are not the same type of spices. And when you're dealing with current day spices, that for sure is a problem in a kli sheni. We had seen yesterday, even in a kli shlishi, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Sif katan mem gimel, matirin bekli sheni. There are those that allow one to go ahead and put baked items in a kli sheni, even though it's yatzat lettuce bow. Kusvir luhu de'ein kli sheni mevashel b'shum davar. This opinion holds that a kli sheni is not mevashel at all. Once it's a kli sheni, ein derech bishel b'kach, it's not normal bishel, and there will not be any melacha of bishel at all in a kli sheni, even if it was totally raw items, not even baked items, but even totally raw spices, easily cooked spices. This shita is not concerned for either kalei abishel or mefse kimevashel. And mem dalet afilu bekli rishon, even in a kli rishon, this opinion holds. Sfir lahu is sifkat mem dalet the ein shayach shein bishel achar fia otzliya. This opinion holds that there's no concept of bishel, the same way there's no bishel achar bishel. There's no bishel after something has been baked or roasted. Vuhu adin lahefech, and the same thing applies the opposite direction as well. There will be no afia or tzli after bishel, according to this opinion. Sif katan mem hei, v'nagu lizaher, and the minhag is to be zaher, not to go ahead and put a Ramah says, put a baked item, even in a kli sheni. Peirush she'ein nosdin lechem b'marak. This means our minhag is not to put bread or bread croutons in chulin to be ka'ara, shehi kli sheni, if it's a kli sheni. Kol she'ein she'i zaher, shelo laros aleihem, kli rishon, and for sure, obviously, you cannot, should not go ahead and pour from a kli rishon onto them, because we assume that number one, we have to be concerned for the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch that Yesh Bishal Achar Afia, and number two, that Kalei Abishal is a concern even in a kli sheni. There's people who go ahead and cut up onions and put it into their soup in their bowl. They should only do it after the bowl, not yatza lettuce bowl. Because by lechem, there's an added kula in that it was baked already, and even so, where since we hold the mamachmi for yesh bishel achar afia, even so, when nizar not to put in a kli sheni, but a raw chopped little onion, for sure you can't put it in the kli sheni, because kol shekein bebitzalim should tzarich lizaher. For sure you should be careful with chopped up onions, that you have to be careful because of kalei abishel, ki ein anu bekiyim b'midi d'mikri rakich. We don't know what's considered soft and easily cooked, and for sure you put it inside a tafshil like a chont, shudavar gush, where you have pieces like of meat in there. The vaday yesh lizaher bezet, which referring to is something we'll discuss again, is that something called a davar gush. And a davar gush is a solid item that is still yadso lettuce bow. It's mevashel even though it's out of the kli. It's mevashel like a kli rishon. So let's say you have a chont piece of meat in your bowl. The piece of meat in your bowl, if it's still yadso lettuce bow, there are those that say that is mevashel, even if a kli sheni is not mevashel, a davar gush is mevashel as a kli rishon, because it doesn't have, right, not up against, like the liquid up against the walls, cold walls of a kli sheni. It's its own separate entity, and it's mevashel, is what's called a davar gush. The solid piece of meat in the chont will have a din of a kli rishon, and it's going to be mevashel kedei klipa, because anything that comes in contact with it. Yesh poskim shesover, that's what he's saying, because there are poskim that hold a davar gush a salad. It's munach b'kli sheni. It's sitting in a kli sheni. Dino k'kli rishon. It's din. It's like a kli rishon. Afilu im yamtin achi hamarach shebakara. And even if you wait, okay, until the soup or chont in the bowl is not in a yatzaletzbo, isn't yatzaletzbo, mikomakom, yizayr shlo yishpachach karkach, al sheyurei b'tzalim, you have to be careful not to pour afterwards on the leftover b'tzalim, shishabakara, min amarach shebakadera, you got to be careful if you're going to go ahead and put these. He's giving you a warning here. Let's say you wait till your bowl cools down, and you put everything cools down in the bowl of chont or soup or whatever, and you put the onions in there. So then you got to be careful not to then pour afterwards from the pot into the bowl, because then you're going to be cooking up these onions. The eri mevashal kadei klipa, because in there for sure eri from a kli rishon is mevashal kadei klipa. The kaimelon that we'll see coming up in Sif Yud, which we discussed already numerous times. The yesh bezech shash daraisa, and we have to be concerned for mamish bishol daraisa when you're dealing with eri kli rishon. The chayin mashen oigen eza anoshen kishosin chamin meraglei behema, and also people who are noyeg to make a chont from, let's say, animal hooves. They cut a slice of bread. He says, look what he says they do. You have to be careful. Because what they do is, they lachtei chatichas pas b'kli, u'la'aretz aleihem amarak shel raglayim li kli rishon. They cut a slice of bread into a dish, and they pour the chont, the soup, from the hooves onto it from a kli rishon. U'la'aretz aleihem amarak shel raglayim li kli rishon. Lo yafa heim osin. These people are not acting properly. Why? Tafilu lo yitein hapas b'tchila, ad sheyara amarak tchila b'kli, kdei sheyasen klisheni, was even if they would delay adding the bread until they first pour in the chult soup, rendering it a klisheni, halakasa rav mazi, yeshiz arbiz, rav mazi, you have to be careful and be machmir not to put bread into a klisheni. Ella and roitz elitain pas, rather if they want to go ahead and add bread, yamtin actually yeh yad zoletzbo bar marak. They should wait until the chult is no longer yad zoletzbo, or shal kol hapachos yishav v'kach min akadeira kadei shiti akara klishishi, or they should wait, or at least take it from the pot with a ladle, so that the bowl will be a kli shlishi. And for sure, if one wants to go ahead and put onions or garlic into his chont, for sure you should be very careful to act this way. Why? Because if he pours onto them from a kli rishon, which is yatzaletzbo, it's already a shaila of mamish and av malacha, as we said before. So what the Mr. Brewer here is really setting up for us is a situation of soup and, let's say, bread crouton. Now let's be careful. The croutons that we use, the osem croutons, the soup nuts, those are deep fried. So those are already really considered cooked, because since they're deep fried, they're cooked in the oil, so there's no issue of bishul acharafia there, it's bishul achar bishul. But when you deal with, let's say, bread or bread croutons in your soup, so he's saying here, for sure, you can't go ahead and pour onto the bread croutons from the kli rishon. You can't even put the bread croutons in a kli sheni. You should wait till it cools down to less than yatza lettuce bow. He says, minimally, you can go ahead and rely on a kli shlishi here, where you take it from the ladle and then move it from the ladle into the a bowl. So then the ladle was a kli sheni and the bowl was a kli shishi, and there you could be makel with the bread in a bowl, the Mishnah Berurah says, because the soup in the bowl is a kli shlishi. Now, what also has to be appreciated here is that he keeps stressing the issue of onion, because onions there, that he doesn't seem to have any heter of a kli shlishi. And this is because, as we said earlier, yesterday, that by tea, the Mishnah Berurah does not have any kula in a kli shlishi. And the distinction we made yesterday was that here, when you're dealing with bishul acharafia, so you can be makel in a kli shlishi. But when it comes to raw items that are easily cooked, like these little pieces of onion chopped up, it does not seem to be any heter of a kli shlishi. Or he once again warns that you got to be careful that if you put these onions in a kli sheni after it already cools, that you have to be worried and be careful not to pour from a kli rishon onto these onions, because then your mamish going to have an issue of being mevashal these onions. Sif katan mem vav lechatchila. So the Ramah said lechatchila the minhag is not to put pas even in a kli sheni. Ubidiyevet afilu bekli rishon in laasar. He says bidiyevet, even if you put bread into a kli rishon, it's not going to be a problem. Again, assuming you didn't do the Issa Rabbanan of Chazara. If you did the Issa Rabbanan of Chazara, it is a problem. But assuming that you put it into a kli rishon, shelo agave yesh, ein la'asor, the yesh l'smocha, yesh makilin, because you could be somech on the yesh makilin, as we always pointed out, that whenever there's a machlokes, and here we see the yesh makilin, the Ramah, that you could put that ein bishol acharafia, and whenever there's a machlokes, b'di'eved, you can go ahead and eat the food. Sifkat mem zayin, afilu b'kli sheni, even in a kli sheni, the chatkili, you should not put the bread in, and a kli shlishi, the prima gadim says you could be mekel. Sifkatan memches calls man shehayad so lettuce bow, as long as it is yatzel lettuce bow. In this kli sheni, the minug is to be machmir. Obviously, once it's not yatzel lettuce bow, there's no longer a problem. Ayein b'chayadam shekasav He now points to a famous Chayadam. It's something called Yad Nichvesvo. If Chayadam writes, if the water is extremely, extremely hot, then you have to treat it, the Kli Sheni, as an item that will be Mavashel, like any other Kli Rishon, even according to the Deos that hold that Kli Sheni is not Mavashel at all. For sure, when it's Yad Nichvesvo, it's going to be Mavashel. Today's halachos in the Mishnah Brura and Shulchan Aruch have been loaded with issues that have major halacha l'maisa ramifications and other famous shitos in the Achronim as well. We'll just move our way backwards. So the Chayadam is quoted here in the last Mishnah Brura, the famous Chayadam that says, when you have a Yad Nichvesbo, everyone holds that Kli Sheni is Mevashel. So the background for this shita is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch, coming up in Sif Yud Aleph, asking that one cannot place cold water in hot bath water, even if the bathtub is a Kli Sheni, because bath water, we're going to see this coming up, is generally very hot and is capable of cooking. Check out the Ramah there as well. The Chayadam infers from this that an extremely hot liquid can cook even in a Kli Sheni. The general rule that a Kli Sheni cannot cook means only that it cannot cook at a temperature of Yatso Lettuce Bowl, but it can cook at a hot temperature, meaning hot enough, the gather is hot enough to scald one's hand. Yatso Lettuce Bowl is where you touch it and your hand goes back. Well, let's say you don't know the water is hot, you touch it, you have to move your hand back. But water that is hot enough to scald your hand, that is what's called Yad Nichves Bowl, and that will always be Mevashel in a Kli Sheni. Now, those who disagree with the Chayadam, they might argue that the reason bath water is considered more chamor is not merely because of its heat, but also because of the large quantity of water, which causes it to cool much more slowly. We'll see more when we get there. It's also possible Shulchan Aruch did not mean that it is mamish asa midoraisa, but maybe it's asa midorabanan, since, like we said, it's machzei kimavashel. And then this would obviously not apply to a cup of hot water, where water goes ahead and is poured into it. Now, the Chazon Ish in Nun Beis Yud Tes states that no other poskim seem to go with this chumrah of the Chayadam, so it seems to be that it's not accepted lalacha. But he concludes that it's difficult to be makel since we're dealing with a halacha of bishul min haTorah, and he adds that one could be lenient with a kli shlishi, even though, as we're going to see momentarily, the Chazon Ish does not usually have any kula of a kli shlishi. The Igros Moshe, check that out as well. In this issue, it's also interesting that the Mishnah Brura does not mention the Chayadam's Chumrah anywhere else in this whole Siman, because he intended to maybe endorse it only with regard to items that are Kalei HaBishul, possibly, and that could very well be Sidor HaShavis, Tolu Shmuel, Shmuel's Kavis, Gehilchasa, etc. So that's in terms of Yad Nichvesbo. Now, we also discussed the issue of Kli Shlishi, and we had seen that there are numerous opinions here. There is the opinion of a Moshe that holds that Kli Shlishi is never going to be an issue. You never have to worry about Mesek Mavashal. You don't have to worry about Kalei HaBishul. You could even put tea in a tea bag in a Kli Shlishi. You have, on the other extreme, by the way, that Agris Moshe was Archaim Dalad, check out note 15 and 18 there, Tezvav and Yudches, where the Moshe says a Kli Shlishi is unable to cook any food. The Chazon Ish, Archaim Nunbeis Yudches, he disagrees and hold that there's no halachic difference between a Kli Sheni and a Kli Shishi. Any item that will cook in a Kli Sheni will cook in a Kli Shlishi. It's interesting. He mentions that the minhag seems to be makel there. He himself also, as we said before, brings up the issue that maybe you could be makel but not Yad Nichvesbo in a Kli Shlishi. But in principle, he doesn't go for the Kli Shlishi thing at all. And here we have the distinction that seems to be being made by the Mishnah Brura, although there are other ways to explain the seeming steers in the Mishnah Brura, that there's a distinction. When it comes to something like tea or onions or things that are raw and might be easily cooked, then we should not distinguish between a Kli Sheni and a Kli Shlishi. However, where there's already a machlokas, like by Ein Bishul Acharafia, so there he seems to allow one to be makel in a Kli Shlishi. Another approach that's given is that there are things, and the Mishnah Brura himself mentions this, there are things that are called extremely Kalei HaBishul, and things that are extremely Kalei HaBishul, that might be what the Mishnah Brura, because he views tea as very, you know, maybe extremely Kalei HaBishul, and that's why it's going to be a problem in a Kli Shlishi. But the very standard approach is that there's a distinction between Yesh Bishul Acharafia, which we're Mekel, that Ein Bishul Acharafia when it comes to a Kli Shlishi, but we're not going to go ahead and be Mekel with other items. And as the Mishnah Brura says time and again, although the Chazon Ish argues on this as well, we don't know what Kalei HaBishul is, and only the things that are explicitly not Kalei HaBishul and not Mechzei Kimavashul, which are stated later, namely, we'll see coming up, water and oil, are for sure items that can go in a klisheni, because those are both not kalei abishal and not metze ke mevashal. Mr. Ruri here suggested a way of setting up a klishlishi is to go ahead and use a ladle to transfer the soup from the pot to the bowl. So the ladle constitutes the klisheni and the bowl a klishlishi. The Mishnah Brura here clearly indicates that the ladle removing the soup from the pot is considered a klisheni, and the bowl into which it is then ladled into is the klishlishi. However, later on in Sif Katan Pei Zayin, the Mishnah Brura brings an opinion that a ladle inserted into a kli rishon gets the status of a kli rishon, which should mean that when it is then transferred into the bowl, it is in a klisheni. So the Achronim give different solutions to this contradiction of Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, again in Bishul 1, footnote 210, footnote Reish Yud. There he says that the Mishnah Brura, the reason why he's makel here is only for ladling hot liquid onto baked foods. That's because, as we know, anyway, there are opinions that hold that ain Bishul achar afia. And the same would apply to ladling hot liquid into previously cooked liquids that have cooled. The Chazon Ish in Aruch Chaim Kuf Chaf Beis Gimel maintains that the ladle is considered a kli rishon if it was inserted into the kli rishon while the kli rishon was on the fire, but not if it was inserted into the kli rishon only after it was removed from the fire. That's the Chazon Ish. Minchas Yitzchak says that with respect to placing food, this is a Minchas Yitzchak, hey, Kuf Chav Zayin Gimel, says with regard to placing food into the ladle itself, the ladle should be viewed as a kli rishon and one should be machmir. As regards to placing food in the bowl that the liquid was ladled into, the ladle could be viewed as a kli sheni and the bowl a kli shishi. He gives an interesting explanation for the distinction. Finally, we come to the issue that was brought up in the Mishnah Brura, Sivkat Mem Hey, that of the Davar HaGush. The source for this position that the Davar HaGush is always viewed as a kli rishon, even if it's out of the kli rishon, is the Magen Avraham. There are others that disagree with this. And the background for this discussion is the Tosis. Tosis there in Shabbos, Mem Amud Beis, by the way, this issue relates to Yoredeya as well. He explains that the reason for the distinction between a kli rishon and a kli sheni, that the walls of a kli rishon were heated by the fire and are therefore able to continue the cooking process. In contrast, the walls of a kli sheni have not been heated and therefore they're cooler than their contents. The walls of a kli sheni will therefore cool their contents too quickly for them to be able to cook anything. The Chavas Das in Yoredeya explains that this machlokes about the status of a hot, solid food placed into a kli sheni really depends on the understanding of an ambiguous point in this Tosos. Is the distinction between a kli sheni and a kli rishon due to the fact that the walls of the kli rishon have been heated by the fire, and that facilitates the cooking, as opposed to a kli sheni with more makel because it does not facilitate cooking? Or is the reason for the kula that a kli sheni actually prevents further cooking since its walls cool its contents? The poskim, who rule stringently, like the Magen Avraham, they say as follows, that a hot solid can cook even in a kli sheni. And they basically understand Tosos, as we said, like the Tzad, that a kli sheni cannot cook since its walls cool the food. And therefore a solid, which does not come into contact with the walls of the pot, retains the status of a kli rishon. In contrast, the poskim, who are cholek, check out the Ramah and Yoredeya, they understand Tosos to mean that a kli rishon can cook only because its walls were heated by the fire, such that they further the cooking process even after the pot was removed from the fire. And based on this understanding, even a solid would not be able to cook once it was removed from the original heated pot. Therefore, it does not retain the status of a kli rishon. Now, it's clear here that the Mishnah Brura is concerned for a davar gush, and even when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there are poskim that say we're only concerned for davar gush when it comes to Yoredeya, because there the issue isn't so much bishul but bliya. But clearly, Mishnah Brura is machmir for davar gush here in Hilchos Shabbos. The Pisrei Tshuva makes a distinction between, and he brings up the issue of a solid that's immersed in a klisheni with liquid, and distinguishes between that and a davar gush that's stam on a plate that's not part of a general liquid in a klisheni. One last thing is a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein that talks about what about taking ketchup and putting it onto a hot piece of meat on your plate that's still yadsa lettuce bowl. So there he says you could be makel and you could put the ketchup onto the piece of meat, because he says like this, he says you're dealing here with two chumras, that of a davar gush and that it's like a kli rishon. And number two, that being machmir, that yesh bishul achar bishul bilach, and since the ketchup is cooked, so combining the fact that ain bishul achar bishul, possibly even by lach, and that davar gush is not any different than liquid outside of a kli rishon, so putting those two together, you would be able to put ketchup, obviously processed ketchup, on your piece of meat. That is yatsa lettuce.